Well, as much as any other threat, recognizing and avoiding scams has become a necessary skill for today's retirees to develop. So we're going to jump into this today and talk about some examples of this happening, one of the most common examples of scams, what to be aware of, and just how to make sure that you are protected and you don't fall victim to one of these easy scams to fall victim to. That's coming up next on Perfect Game Retirement.
Welcome to the Perfect Game Retirement Podcast with former professional baseball player and now financial coach at Black Oak Asset Management, Ryan Ledman. This show will help you make the right financial decisions so you can pitch a perfect game in retirement. Here's the windup and the delivery.
Well, glad to have you in the show. I'm Ben George with Ryan Ledden, president and financial coach, also a certified financial planner at Black Oak Asset Management. Ryan, I like this topic a lot, not because I like scams at all, but because it's so important, because I know everyone probably listening has probably been the at least the target of a scam. Hopefully not the victim, but definitely the target of some type of scam at some point.
Yeah, it's pretty staggering when you read some of the articles that I read and to see the amount of dollars that are subject to scam, not just the people, but the number of dollars and how much it increases each year. And, you know, we talk about all this, you know, technology and AI and all this, but at the same time, it's working way against us in the same regard. And we'll get into details of stuff like that. But I mean, each year you see the dollar amounts that are being scammed from people. And it is just, it's alarming, but they're getting so sophisticated and good at it. Sometimes it's difficult to know you're even subject to one.
Yeah, and it's changing so quickly with the rapid pace of technology as well. So we want to just make sure you're aware of some of the things that are happening right now, give you some real life examples, maybe give you some tips on how to better recognize scams when they're coming your way. And then also what you can do to put some protections in place to avoid being a scam victim as well. So we've got a good show coming up today. Again, if you have questions, you can always call Ryan at 470-508-0508 or log on blackoakam.com. So I want to start with, we've got a couple of news articles. We're going to drop into the show notes, links to them, so you can always check those out when we get done. But I just want to start off, this is a great story that came from, I believe it was CNBC, about someone that fell victim. And the scary part was, Ryan, this person, this lady who is now in her 70s, lost her life savings, almost over $500,000, gone like that. And it's just a testament of why this is so important, right?
Yeah, it's heartbreaking to read that. Again, it's a widow, and yeah, over, I think it was a little over $600,000 fell subject to basically a tech scam. And we hear the cryptocurrency in the news all the time. Well, there's a lot of people falling victim to scams and fraud that are involving cryptocurrency. And that's what this lady, Marjorie, who fell subject to that. So, you know, essentially started out as a phone call, and it just led to, and she thought it was from her, the person said that they were quote unquote an investigator who worked for PNC Bank. Well, that's where she did all her financial transactions through, was PNC Bank. So she thought, oh, a fraud investigator, PNC Bank, they're looking out for my best interest. And basically the investigator was telling her that, hey, you know, her identity is going to be stolen because basically they were hacked more or less, and they may start getting her life savings. So what she's got to do to protect that, she's essentially got to move this into another account and essentially investing and put her money in crypto, hold it there until it's quote unquote safe, and then move it back out. Well, again, she thinks, well, okay, this sounds legit. You know, it's PNC Bank. At least that's what they're identifying as. And then she was waiting for the call back, and you can imagine that call back never happened. So she calls the number back, and what does she get? She gets a disconnected message. And then she calls PNC Bank, and they're like, yeah, no one works here with that name. And then that's where probably horrible gut feeling of, oh my gosh, I've lost every dime that I've had.
It's just, yeah, it's sickening, and you can just kind of feel that drop in your stomach when it happens, just probably hearing that story. But you know, just we use that to kind of highlight how easy it can happen, how quickly it can happen, and probably give you a story you can relate to as well. And part of that article as well, Ryan, said Americans over 60 lost 3.1 billion to cyber fraud in 2022. So, you know, I know that retirees are one of the main targets a lot of times.
Yeah, 3.1 billion with a B. It's a crazy number. And I think crypto was responsible for 1.1 billion of that number. So there's all different types of fraud because you know what? That's where the money's at. That is not to say that younger people don't have lots of money. I'm not saying that, but they know who may be susceptible to this and then who has the money. So it's a perfect storm for that. And another portion of that story, talking about, it was a study that Vanguard did on different ages of people, and people 65 to 74, basically their average net worth is 1.2 million of that group of the study that they did. So again, there's where the target is going to be because, okay, you know, stereotypically they may not be as tech savvy. Again, that's it's a stereotype, but there's definitely some truth to it because, shoot, I mean, I'm in the technology space with what we do in financial services, and there's even some things I'm like, oh my gosh, this is moving to such a rapid pace, like I can't keep up. It's difficult. I can't imagine people who didn't really use and work on computers with a part of their daily life. So they're a huge target for sure.
What we want to talk about is, you know, some of the types of scams that are out there, but bigger picture, higher level, there's really kind of three categories. Now, I know everyone's probably heard the word phishing, right? So this was more common as emails were rolled out and web browsing became more common. It's easy to change a letter or change, you know, an I to an L or whatever to make it look like you're getting these emails or you're on the right website. And this happens all the time. Then there's vishing. I don't know if you are aware of these terms, but vishing is phone calls trying to get your personal information. Then there's smishing. I feel like these are made up words, Ryan, but I guess these are accurate. But smishing are texts that are meant to trick you.
Yeah, the last two I haven't heard of either. Yeah, you're right. Phishing, we've all heard it. And phishing, it is crazy how many I get.
Oh yeah,
through my work email, and it's like, again, they're getting so much more sophisticated that I think I've gotten two or three from people that I work with who are on payroll. And it looks just like it's coming from them saying, hey, my banking account information has changed. And what set me off was at the very beginning, it said Ryan and then, you know, with a comma, like they were addressing. I'm like, they're not going to address me that way. They're just going to be like, hey, man, I got a new bank account. What do I need to do? Or, you know, they're not going to address me for it. But still, if I wasn't paying attention to that, I'm like, good grief. So it's they get more and more sophisticated. Phone calls, yeah, same thing. I mean, don't even trust your phone to know if it's a spam or a lot of times they have legit numbers and the phone can't determine whether or not it's a spam call. And then, yeah, smishing. Yeah. I mean, you get more and more text messages. I mean, text messages for a while would be the best way to communicate with people because they respond to that quicker and they can do it on their own time and not have to have a conversation. But my goodness, now you got to really filter through what's coming in. Text messages. So all three are huge for scams now.
Yeah, because the text, at least you know the number that was coming from, so you can identify that quickly. But the texts that come your way that begin a scam, you would never notice. It looks like somebody's just accidentally texting you. It looks like a pretty common, pretty innocent text, and then that's how they kind of get you in. But yeah, the emails have been one that always almost tricks me up too, Ryan, because I pay close attention to it. But you'll get an email from PayPal or a bank account, and it's got the name on the email account looks right. It's got the email looks right, but if you kind of hover over, what I like to do is hover over the email address, and you can see clearly it's not a PayPal email address or whoever it's sending from. But this, I've been so close many times to clicking on it, and even if I click on something, I'm not going to enter any information. I might click over and look to see what the link is, but not enter anything, no logins, passwords, that sort of thing. But yeah, man, it's tough. And the thing is, there's so much at stake, right? When these things come your way and you become a target, there's a lot that can happen.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% right on the phishing emails. Yeah, hover over, click on the email, see where it's from. Because we send out a lot of DocuSigns now, because DocuSigns and digital workflows are approved in our world. You know, for mortgages and things like that, that's always been the case. But for us, it's such a compliance world. but we get them all the time. And I have to look at it and I can kind of tell, but you're right, man. They'll have like the DocuSign logo and, you know, Schwab, it'll be the Schwab logo. And it's like, everything looks legit. And you know, just FYI for kids too. I mean, my daughter just got a phone last summer and she gets text messages like, "Hey, your package wasn't able to be delivered."
Yeah,
and
I'm
like, I'm like, do not ever click on those things. So I've tried to educate her on anything random or you're not sure of, just swipe it and delete it.
We're talking about scams. Again, if you have questions or think that you might have an email or might have something that looks like a scam but always wanted to follow up with somebody, or maybe you've fallen victim and need some help with that, again, you can always get in touch with Ryan, Black Oak Asset Management, 470-508-0508. So some other examples, there's another article we'll share, again, I mentioned from Reuters, that provides some details on a lot of the different types of scams. And there's a long list of them, Ryan, as you kind of go through there. And, I, you know, again, encourage you to kind of read through for yourself to get real details on all this stuff. But what are some of the ones that maybe stand out to you or the ones that have maybe been most common from either your own experience or people you've worked with?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few listed in the, like you said, the article is a great article. It's good to just to read up and get familiar with these things. Some of it you kind of know or familiar with, but, you know, government scams, there's constantly, because again, we're talking about, if you're talking about the Social Security Administration or Medicare, I mean, that's a baby boomer targeted scam, mm-hmm. just like we mentioned in the beginning of the show. IRS, I mean, they're not going to call you and say that you owe money. It's not going to happen. They send out formal letters. So if it's a government entity type thing and it's a phone call, don't just beware. I mean, in the article it talks about, you know, the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, says, you know, don't ever send cash. Duh. That's pretty obvious. Don't send gift cards or even be a cryptocurrency. Don't do those things because it is just impossible to get that money back. It's very difficult to trace. And what's funny is like even some, you know, caller IDs, like we mentioned before, that they can't detect that kind of stuff either. So no government agency, again, is going to contact you about these certain things, either email or text message. No, it's going to be a formal letter if it's something that is really serious that needs to be done. Sweepstakes scams. I thought this was kind of an interesting, interesting thing. Hey, all of us want to win the sweepstakes. And what was that guy that came to your house? Oh, man. Publishers Clearinghouse. I can see the guy's face. He's passed away since. But, you know, they're going to come knock. Ed McMahon? Is that it?
Exactly. Yep.
There you go. Ed McMahon's come knocking on your door. But, you know, everybody wants to win the lottery and all this. But, you know, it's the same thing. Those are going to be scams in order to claim a prize. But first, you have to wire a few $100 to pay for fees, admin costs, and taxes. And that's just not going to be the case. You know, another one are, you know, robocalls. I mean, that's because they can do so many phone calls, even if it's 1 out of 100 or 1 out of 1,000, they can do those. Robocalls can constantly do those all day long. And in the article, it said like each scam averages about $431 per scam on a robocall. Well, again, multiply that. So it's law of numbers. You do that enough and put enough zeros behind it, that's going to be, you know, that's going to be a lot of money. And I thought even, and I can't remember if it was the robocalls or if it was the, may have been the computer tech scams, but like, actually it's the phone calls. They'll call you and get you to answer a question. I thought this was just staggering. They'll call you. And if you answer, they'll say, "Hey, can you hear me?" Mm-hmm. And if you just respond yes, boom, they captured your voice and they can use that against you for other fraud because they recorded your voice. I'm like, dude, that's just where technology is like it's mm-hmm. starting to go in the wrong direction, even though it's trying to be in a good way. But the one that's alarming to me is the grandparent scams. And my grandmother almost fell to this. And Ben and I, you and I were talking about this before the show, but this was like 20 years ago, actually a little more than 20 years ago. I was still playing baseball. And so my grandmother, she didn't know where I was in the country as far as where I was playing or what I was doing. And someone called and said they kidnapped me. And they had someone in the background, like, calling for help. And she says that it even sounded like me. So luckily she did not fall to the scam. she hung up the phone and then called my dad right away and said, "Where's Ryan?" And again, I don't remember my exact location at the time, but obviously I was fine and wasn't kidnapped. But it's amazing how much that works. And again, law of numbers, they'll keep trying people until they fall suspect to it.
Yeah, and that's scary. They were ahead of their time a little bit on that one as well. But, you know, it's just it's everywhere you look. And that's the point, right? You just never know where it's going to come from. A lot of times it seems real, seems authentic, genuine, but you got to be careful. So let's try to help people recognize the signs, Ryan. I mean, I know there's some common sense things we can do, but what are some other tips you'd give people just in terms of identifying what's happening?
Yeah, I mean, there's, like you said, some of it's obvious, but, you know, speaking of obvious, and I don't know the depth of the article, and I just saw it before we started recording our show, but someone in the FBI was recently fell subject to some scam. And again, I don't know the particulars of it. So we think we're smart. We think we're sophisticated and we're all buttoned up. But even someone from the FBI fell subject to this. So take these things, again, is the offer too good to be true? You know the saying. it probably is too good to be true. So just kind of take a step back when you get potentially one of these scams and think, okay, with this entity, would they contact me this way? Or, okay, I won this sweepstake. No, you didn't. There's a good chance that you did not. So don't fall subject to that. Again, attachments, be careful. Like Ben mentioned before, hover over that email address. And if it has like some domain that you're like, what in the world is that? That's a scammer. So just don't click on anything that's has attachments or just looks suspicious. Anything unsolicited, personal information, don't do that. You're going to fall subject to it. You know, there's even when I mentioned before that email that I got about changing the direct deposit for some of my employees, but like the wording right off the bat, I'm like, "Dear Ryan, I'm not going to call me that. I work with them. They're not going to do that." So just look for funny wording that may be subject to, like, okay, kind of scratch your head. So if that happens, then you know, legitimate companies aren't going to ask for like payments and for something of gift cards. And again, these things sound so silly and stupid, but they work or they wouldn't be a thing. So just err on the side of caution to these things. You're going to get hit up more and more and more often when you see these red flags. So probably go with your gut, and it's not a legit thing.
All right. So beyond the red flags, I know there are some things you probably do with your clients just to kind of help protect them and to make sure they're kind of buttoned up from a cybersecurity perspective. So what are some of the things that you encourage people to do?
Yeah. I mean, me personally, and this isn't a quote unquote endorsement. This is, I just tell people, hey, this is what I do. So I do check my credit. Again, the three big reporting agencies, you can do one free credit report a year. So if you want to get all three of them and do them, you know, three times a year, space them out every 4 months, you can do that. Am I that diligent and do it every 4 months? I'll be honest, no. But I do have monitoring on my credit. So if something pops up, a new credit card, any kind of red flag, we have that set up, me personally, and then as a family. Again, we're Dave Ramsey Advisors, and so if you've listened to a Dave Ramsey show, you hear him plug Xander Insurance. They have an identity theft that we use. It monitors. It sends us updates. It sends us messages. And then if something were to happen, they assign someone to your case to help you sort it out. I know there's other ones out there, like LifeLock. I haven't seen like a commercial for them in a while, but that used to be a thing. And maybe it still is, but I think they work a little different than the Xander ID theft. I don't know if they have a personal caseworker that is assigned to yours or if they just freeze everything. So I can't speak intelligently enough, but there's things out there that you can monitor yourself. And I think the Xander ID theft, again, it's really affordable. It doesn't cost that much per year. Again, don't quote me on this, but maybe $150-$200 a year. It's not much. The two-factor authentication, it's a pain in the butt. I get it. I can't stand it, but you need to have it. I have a good friend that fell subject to that. They did not set up the two-factor on their Gmail, and it ended up getting them. And every time they would go in and change a password, you know, it would send them an email update via Google, and the hackers, every time they got a new password, they were just right there. They could see the email, and then they would just go in and use the new email address. So not only did they think they were changing everything, but the hackers just saw everything that they were changing. So, but it all boiled down to not having two-factor authentication. It's a pain in the butt. I get it, but something it's necessary.
Well, there's a lot you can do. Again, you want to work with someone that can help protect you. And it's always good, I guess, Ryan, too, if someone sees something or is curious or just, you know, maybe raises a red flag, they can always check with you too, right, to say, hey, take a look at this. What do you think? Is this probably accurate? Is this genuine? What should I do with this?
Yeah, and we had a client not too long ago. They got a suspicious email from what it looked like Schwab to do their login, and it was not. They had to call Schwab themselves and go through and have things reset, and it looked completely legit, and it wasn't. Because again, like we talked about earlier in the show, these things get more and more sophisticated. They look more and more authentic. It relates. It's not the same. It's not a scam. I mean, we have a Facebook group for clients only at Black Oak. Well, you know, that's not going to be hundreds of thousands of people, let's be honest, but it is amazing how many people try to get into our Facebook group. One person got by. They have to answer a couple questions. Even they're getting more sophisticated on how they answer the questions. So they're answering the questions correctly. Hmm. But then I got to go back into our CRM and be like, okay, because again, some people don't work directly with me and they may work with other advisors. So the name I don't recognize. So I have to go in and go, okay, yep, they're legit. But yeah, one person got through and they were just started advertising their, like, I think it was some kind of home cleaning or something. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Jeez. So, and that's just one little small Facebook group. So it's constant and you got to be aware 24/7.
You do indeed. And you probably have seen this maybe on your own personal face or your business Facebook page, but I've seen this from a lot of people we worked with and, on their business page, they're getting messages all the time from people. Hey, your account's going to be locked up. Your page is in violation, blah, 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 blah. It's just like a barrage of messages. It's like as soon as you have one area figured out, they come from a different spot. So you just always have to be on your toes.
No doubt.
All right. Well, again, if you have questions for Ryan, 470-508-0508 or log on blackoakam.com.
It's time to open up the mailbag.
All right, Ryan, I got a mailbag question for you that came in from Tony. So I want to throw it your way. He says, as a pastor, I have the opportunity to opt out of Social Security. Is this something I should consider?
That is, I've had this question a lot. And, you know, some pastors start getting into the morality of it and so I can only speak from experience. I have an uncle who opted in, and they are now retired, and he is 100% grateful that he did, because that income that he gets from that, I mean, that helps a ton. And then he's got a good friend who opted out, and that's just they weren't diligent enough to save on their own to kind of bridge that gap, and so he's out, you know, whatever, a couple thousands of dollars a month that he would have gotten if he did opt in. So I get Social Security's got some question marks. There's remedies out there to prolong Social Security. I fully think it's not going to go away. They're not going to wave a magic wand and just get rid of it. That's just not going to happen. So there's going to be modifications to it, but to not do it because you don't think it's going to be around. Now, if it's a moral thing, that's on you. And there's not a wrong answer there. If you just don't think it's good and the government's not good stewards of your money, okay, that's a valid argument. But again, you have to make sure you're saving 6.2% of your paycheck on your own on top of what you're already saying. Because think, Social Security, if you're doing 10%, that's just 10% of your earnings. Then you're also doing 6.2% of that, it's out of your paycheck before you even see it. And if you're self-employed, you're paying double. So as long as you're diligent on your own, and if you think it's a moral thing, fine. But again, I can speak from experience with my uncle, and he's grateful that he did do it.
All right, Tony, thank you for that question. If you have one for us, send it in, blackoakam.com.
It's getting to know you time.
All right, let's close it out with a little getting to know Ryan. All right, so sleep is obviously a premium when you're a parent and you have a busy schedule like you do. But so I think I might know the answer, but do you normally fall asleep easily or does it take you a little while?
What do you think?
I think you probably pass right out.
100%, man, 100%. I will race anybody to sleep who wants to challenge me, who can go to sleep the quickest. It is – I'll do it in between changing channels. I will do it in the middle of the sentence. I'll do it in the middle of my wife's sentence. She'll look over and I am out. So it is – I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing that I fall asleep as fast as I do. Probably I need more rest because I do get up very early. I don't try to go to bed too late. Sometimes it happens with kids' practices, but I do get up extremely early and try to work out because if it doesn't happen in the morning, there is a 0.1% chance that it's going to happen later in the afternoon because I just got stuff. I got too many things to do. I fall asleep really, really fast. But on the flip side, I never remember dreams. Not that that's a big deal. I don't know if there's a correlation there, but like my wife takes forever to go to sleep, but then she'll remember every detail of her dreams. So I'm like, I don't know which ones, if that's correlated or if that's a bad thing, good thing. But I hardly ever remember dreams, but by God, I will fall asleep quick.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm happy oftentimes when it's now bedtime. Let me just try to lay down and get some sleep if I can. I'll take whatever I can get these days. So,
I know, right?
Very good. Well, we appreciate you listening to this episode of the podcast. Again, if you have any questions, curious about scams, want to follow up with anything we talked about today, encourage you to log on blackoakam.com. There's also a lot of tools and resources there for you as well if you want to learn more about Black Oak and also curious about financial planning, retirement planning, that sort of thing. You'll get a lot of information right there from the site. But if you want to call, it's 470-508-0508. Ryan, thanks for the time as always. Have a good week.
Thank you.
The Perfect Game Retirement Podcast is brought to you by Black Oak Asset Management, serving the greater Atlanta area with offices in Alpharetta and Macon. The show is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to the show on your favorite app today and never miss an episode. Just search for Perfect Game Retirement to find us. You can also visit blackoakam.com to listen to past episodes, to contact Ryan Ledden, and to learn more about how to pitch a perfect game in retirement.
Information provided is for informational purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Please consult with a qualified professional before taking any action. Securities and registered investment advisory services offered through Silver Oak Securities, Inc., member FINRA/SIPC. Black Oak Asset Management and Silver Oak Securities, Inc. are not affiliated.